This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Fall has arrived, and all week long, in conjunction with the opening of fall, we've been taking a look at great openings. PJ Hrabowski's been helping us do that. PJ's in the Anthony and Susan Hoy studio to do that. You're combining a great opening with the regular Thursday preview of Film Score Friday.
Yeah, I thought that would be a good idea, and what better for a great opening than King Kong?
Why does it work as a great opening?
Well, because for several reasons, Kyle. One of them was because film scores changed with King Kong. And I'll tell you why. The music was the film score that began the second period in movie music and was almost not written at all. In the early 1930s, RKO Studio was in big trouble, but RKO Studios was always in big trouble. But we're talking about the Great Depression here, okay? And most of the musical staff at RKO had been laid off, and Max Steiner had been asked to take over operation of the department with almost no budget. Well, now the limit for any picture was a three-hour recording session, period, and absolutely no more than 10 musicians. RKO didn't even have a place set aside for music recording, so whatever stage was available and whichever sound mixer, whether it was used for music or not, that was free would be the place to record. So you have some guys who would put up four large wooden panels that would act as reflecting services. And there you go. By the way, you also only had one primitive microphone, so placement was extremely important.
Yeah.
And in those days, you had no immediate playbacks to check for accuracy of the musician's performance. And the optical film was developed overnight, so all you could do was cross your fingers and hope for the best. Think, oh, I hope that all worked out because that was the only chance we had. This is the way it was. Okay, now, in 1933, a group of visionaries and special effects guys were spending around $430,000 of RKO's dwindling bucks on a picture about a ginormous, that's a word, right?
Right.
Ginormous ape. Now, there were two directors, Ernest B. Shudsek and Marion C. Cooper. When the movie was ready for the music, the studio's president, a very fiscally conservative guy, took one look at the footage and announced there was no reason to throw good money after bad. In other words, he wasn't real fond of the movie, I guess. Well, his orders were firm, no recording. Use some music tracks we already have. This composer, Max Steiner, had also written music for nearly all of RKO's recent pictures and knew there was no 40 to 50 foot apes in any of them. And he said, what? And I quote, old music tracks? He said, for God's sakes, Ben, what am I going to use music from, Little Women? Into the mix stepped an extraordinary man by the name of Marion C. Cooper, who ended up being the co-director, who wore many hats. He was an adventurer, a news correspondent, combat pilot, explorer, and in this case, the co-director, and King Kong was his baby. Cooper said some magic words. Maxie, go ahead and score the picture, and don't worry about the cost, because I'll pay for the orchestra. Well, he did, to the tune of, of $50,000. Well, that was absolutely unheard of for a music score until that time. But everyone said it was worth every penny. And, you know, this was the Great Depression. So, you know, it's the Great Depression. You're spending more on a film score than you've ever done before. And, by the way, the music meant everything to that picture. The picture meant everything to RKO Studios because it saved the studio from bankruptcy. Now, the impact of the movie King Kong on the movie-going public was unbelievable. It opened, talking about great openings, it opened in a country that was frightened, impoverished, and in the grip of the Great Depression. But on the very day that President Franklin D. Roosevelt closed the banks and declared a moratorium, a period of grace on the repayment of debts, the following advertisement hit one of the big New York City newspapers. No money. Yet New York dug up $89,931 in 4 days to see King Kong at Radio City, setting a new all-time world's record for attendance at any indoor attraction. If you had been able to hear King Kong music back then, you'd remember it, especially the first three notes. Those notes are Kong. And any reviews or articles that I've read on King Kong, they always refer to those three notes. Ominous three notes, which descend downward with each passing note. It's called the Kong motif. And whenever there's a need to highlight the savage, barbaric quality of the monster that is neither man nor beast, this three-note leitmotif can be heard. Another great movie moment is cut number 9, called Entrance of Kong.
And this is the first time we see Kong.
Right. Now, the natives have spirited away Anne, mm-hmm. Fay Wray, and she's been brought up to the steps of the sacrificial altar, and her arms are tied to posts. She's trying to get away.
And she is screaming for she's worth.
Better than any woman has
yes.
ever screamed before. Well, then comes the entrance of Kong, and first you hear the gong. Then you hear the music portraying these giant, hairy footsteps when finally he breaks through the trees into view. And then over and over, you hear those three notes.
King Kong certainly fits our week-long series of great openings, but it's also a soundtrack you'll feature tomorrow on Film Score Friday.
That's right.
Along with
Always, The Seventh Sin, Dave, The Cowboys, The Hours, The Three Musketeers, and Sunset Boulevard.
That's tomorrow from 10 until noon. You're also giving away some tickets tomorrow on Film Score Friday.
That's right. The Harvest Music Festival. What one lucky winner is going to get a couple of three-day passes, plus general camping at the Harvest Music Festival, which takes place October 14th through the 16th on Mulberry Mountain in Ozark. And there's going to be over 50 live performances, kids stuff, kids activities, hiking, camping, bands, including Sam Bush, Keller William, and the Keels. And we're going to be drawing tomorrow during Film Score Friday. So it's not too late to go to KUAF.com and enter.
All right. So soundtracks, a chance to go to the music festival, and King Kong, a great opening, which also had one of the most quotable endings ever.
Oh, yeah.
PJ, thanks.
Thanks, Kyle.
I'm Carl Denham.
Carl Denham?
Yeah. Denham? Oh, that's the man that captured the monster.
Well, Denham, the airplane's got him. Oh, no. It wasn't the airplanes. It was Beauty killed the beast.
Beauty killed the beast.